Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In recent months, the social media platform TikTok has come under increasing pressure.
Now the US is threatening to ban TikTok for all Americans.
Some of the accusations against TikTok are that it's stealing American users' data and feeding it to China.
Critics say it's spreading misinformation and harvesting data for the Chinese government. TikTok strongly denies this. Separately, it's been fined over £12 million in the UK for mishandling children's data.
The Information Commissioner's Office has found several breaches of the rules relating to the data, particularly the use of children's data and those under 13.
And now, some governments and companies are asking users to delete it from their phones.
We are also going to ban the use of TikTok on government devices.
A TikTok ban for all government devices. The move brings Australia in line with New Zealand, Canada, the US and the UK.
A key branch of the European Union have been ordered to remove the TikTok app from their phones to protect data and increase cybersecurity.
Could we really see an all-out ban in the US? And what does that mean for the app here in the UK? You're listening to Stories of Our Times from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Jenny Kleeman. Today, could TikTok be banned?
My name is Chris Stoker-Walker. I'm a technology journalist and the author of TikTok Boom.
At the end of March, Chris, TikTok's CEO, Suzy Chew, he was making headlines across the US and also here in the UK. Tell us what was happening.
He was in front of a congressional hearing, Jenny, where he was quizzed pretty significantly. He was dragged in front of the congressional hearing by politicians who were unhappy around TikTok. And Suzy Chew came to Washington with a purpose. TikTok flew out multiple popular influencers who joined him on the Hill, trying to convince people that TikTok was hugely important. The company had just announced at the time 150 million Americans used it every single month. They were toting placards.
TikTok has really been a game changer for me. It's allowed me to reach new audiences, millions of people.
They were saying that this was really damaging to their future. Economic data had been released that said TikTok supported vast numbers of jobs in the United States. And it was an attempt to try and make the app survive because it was a real existential threat for it.
And at the same time, Chew made his own TikTok video, didn't he?
He did. This was a man who we previously hadn't heard much of, and he decided that now was the time to really show a little bit about himself.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. I'm the CEO of TikTok. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today, and I have some news and updates to share with everyone.
So he posted a TikTok video of his own where he essentially extolled the virtues of TikTok to a relatively skeptical audience.
I'll be testifying before Congress later this week to share all that we're doing to protect Americans using the app and deliver on our mission to inspire creativity and to bring joy. Let me know in the comments what you want your elected representatives to know about what you love about TikTok.
It was his attempt to try and lay the groundwork for what he would say in Congress, and an attempt, I suppose, to try and win over the hearts and minds of everyday Americans, and particularly those who use TikTok, who perhaps had never really encountered him before.
Take us back to the beginning, Chris. How did TikTok start? Who is behind it?
TikTok's run by a company called ByteDance, and ByteDance is around about a decade old. It's based in Beijing, although if you ask the company, they will say that they are headquartered in the Cayman Islands. And ByteDance is kind of like the Chinese Google. It is a large tech company. It's around about half the size of Google. It has talons in lots of parts of Chinese people's lives. So it has an app called Douyin, which is the Chinese equivalent of TikTok. It has a productivity software, which is called Lark, which is similar to the Western app Slack. And also, it really made its name with an app called Toutiao. It was kind of a news app. And that was really the basis of ByteDance's success story. Toutiao became hugely popular and laid the groundwork for all of this suite of other apps.
And when did TikTok itself launch?
So TikTok was launched in the late 2010s. Essentially, ByteDance saw the success of Douyin, which was this short-form video app in China, and it decided that it wanted to have a global presence. So ByteDance launched TikTok around about 2016, 2017, 2018 in different countries, starting in Southeast Asia, and then it started to expand elsewhere. So it entered into the United States. It merged in 2017 with a competitor app, which was called Musical.ly. And then from there, it kind of became hugely successful.
What is it about TikTok, though? What is it about the app that made it so popular so quickly?
Yeah, this is one of the really interesting things, Jenny, is people often attribute TikTok's success to being an overnight luck story. And by mentioning ByteDance, we kind of start to chip away at that founding myth. The fact that this is actually a very big backed company with huge cash reserves that are working towards engineering this app's success. So that app design was also augmented by the algorithm. And that really was a step change from what we've seen in the past. You know, you and I have used social media like Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. That is based on a thing called a social graph. Essentially, it looks at what people who we are friends with are interested in and shows us content that it thinks we will like. TikTok is different. TikTok is based on a content graph. So it looks solely at what you have previously engaged with to try and get into your neuroses, to understand what you like the most, and then present you more of it. And that is really what has been the big secret behind TikTok's success.
So this content graph is much more powerful than the social graph that we've been used to in the past.
It is. TikTok collects vast amounts of data about us simply because of the way that we engage with the app so keenly. And the sort of volume of videos that we watch in any given hour is much greater than other apps. And so you can actually download your data from TikTok. And I asked a number of people to do that for my book. Now, I managed to build up a picture of who they were and what they were interested in that they found really quite scary, because you don't realize the digital breadcrumbs that you leave and how the algorithm takes those breadcrumbs and puts them together to build up a vision of who you are. So it often can often be said to kind of know us better than we know ourselves.
Who's using the app? Clearly, there's a lot of them. I'm not expecting you to give me granular detail on them, but paint a picture of the demographics.
Yeah, there's Dave, who's in Kansas, and there's Anna in Arkansas. No, there has been a shift in the typical TikTok user. In the late 2010s, it was known as essentially the lip syncing and dancing app. And that was because it was popular, particularly with young teenagers. That was TikTok's marketing strategy. They decided that they were going to try and get the ears and the eyes of the younger user base and then hope that they would be the early adopters that made this thing cool. And they did. And it's actually been very notable over the history of TikTok how that user base has changed. And so now it has almost as frequent users who are in their 80s or 90s as they are 18 or 19. It has become one of those super apps in the same way that Facebook was maybe 10 years ago, where everybody has to be on it.
And yet people aren't on it in China.
Exactly. And this is the interesting thing. There are two parallel systems going on here. And there is, ironically for China, a strong firewall between these two apps. So ask ByteDance whether TikTok exists in China, and they will say absolutely not. We have Douyin, which is a separate app, the Chinese sister app for TikTok, which is essentially the same. It's kind of like identical twins who are separated at birth. One lives in one country, one lives in the other. Same parent company, but very, very different. And never the twain shall meet.
How influential has TikTok become in terms of popular culture?
It's massive. You only have to look at a couple of pretty significant industries that were, they were on the wane before TikTok came about. So number one is the music industry. TikTok kind of gave it a shot in the arm, because what TikTok involves is often producing videos that have a music background. And so we're seeing increasingly stars being minted on TikTok. One of the earliest ones was Lil Nas X with Old Town Road. Likewise, we've seen Blinded Lights. That really popular song, really cresting the wave of popularity through TikTok. Then you also have subsections of TikTok like BookTok.
I've never cried for so long after a book.
If a book goes viral on TikTok, they have literally propelled books that were languishing at the back of dusty shelves to the top of the bestseller chart simply because an influential person on the app has said, I like this book, you would like it too, you should go out and buy it.
The last paragraph. I forced my mom to settle with me until I stopped sobbing long.
And is it just books and music? What about politics and news? How important is TikTok for that?
It's becoming increasingly important. In about the last 18 months, as TikTok has been inescapable, as it's entered the public consciousness, these publishers, these news outlets have decided that this is a place for them to be. And so increasingly, they are adopting it. So it's notable that in the last few months, the BBC has been advertising for TikTok specialists because they see this as one of the future platforms for distributing journalism.
So, Chris, within a few years, TikTok has become one of the most popular apps in the world, one of the most popular and the most influential. But in August 2020, the US government gets involved. What happens?
Donald Trump signed an executive order that would ban TikTok if the app wasn't sold to an American company within about a month and a half. This was because he was concerned that TikTok was a tool of the Chinese state. There was no evidence that this was the case, but he spent thousands of dollars on Facebook and Instagram adverts trying to convince the population that this was true. TikTok was spooked. It wanted to try and remain in the United States. So it started to set up deals with people. It courted investors, potential purchasers. There was this idea here that TikTok could remove the Chinese link by cozying up to a US business and convincing Donald Trump that it was actually safe after all.
And was Donald Trump right to be concerned that TikTok could be an agent of the Chinese state?
There is this fear that TikTok is pushing data over to China where it can be used to, I presume, build up a picture of who you are individually and therefore who we are collectively as a society for some nefarious use. It's worth saying TikTok denies and has always denied that it ever gives data to the Chinese state. I'm not convinced that there is much on TikTok that you wouldn't already get from other platforms. We share our lives massively with all sorts of platforms. And frankly, I think the Chinese state probably could get similar levels of information simply by trawling through our Facebook profiles that it could from TikTok.
But the implication isn't that TikTok has been especially set up to gather data to be sent back to China. It's more that the Chinese government can ask any Chinese company to hand over whatever data it has.
Yeah, and there are literal laws that would compel the state to basically ask companies to comply with those requests if they were asked. And TikTok says that they haven't been. We have subsequently actually, in a relatively unprecedented move, have had the Chinese state come out and say they've never asked.
So despite all of Donald Trump's efforts to ban it, TikTok is still being used in the US today.
Yeah. So we had this ongoing court case. Donald Trump tried to ban TikTok in the summer of 2020. TikTok said, we think that is a threat to our business. We are going to take you to court. The court case dragged on for multiple months. And TikTok was essentially running down the clock on the Trump presidency because they knew that there was the 2020 US presidential election coming up in November. The Biden administration, when they took power in January 2021, quietly dropped the case, although they did reserve the right to revisit this should they find evidence that actually a ban would be justified.
And yet, fewer than 2 years later, TikTok would once again be under scrutiny, and not just from Biden's administration, but politicians here in the UK too. We'll hear more about TikTok's latest battles after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since Trump left office, what new concerns have arisen about TikTok?
There have been quite a few. Most recently was the revelation that TikTok had been spying on journalists using its own app. There is a reporter formerly of BuzzFeed News, currently at Forbes, called Emily Baker White, who had been producing some relatively difficult stories about TikTok. TikTok eventually learned that a number of its employees at its parent company, ByteDance, had tried to ascertain who were Emily Baker White's sources by looking at her TikTok usage. They tried to essentially identify who had been speaking to her and who had been leaking her some pretty damaging information. And it's really troubling, actually. She wasn't the only one that was spied on. There was a journalist at the Financial Times called Christina Criddle in the UK who had similar issues.
The Justice Department and FBI now looking into whether the Chinese company ByteDance illegally surveilled journalists, according to a law enforcement official.
TikTok then apologized. They said that they had fired the individuals responsible, that they were lone actors. But it really was an unforced error that kind of gave ammunition to those who thought TikTok was a risk but hadn't really had the evidence to prove it.
And this has not come at a great time for US-China relations, has it?
It hasn't. You can't escape the fact that China has flown a spy balloon over the continental United States and also Canada in recent months. Xi Jinping has become much more outspoken in his support of, for instance, Vladimir Putin. He traveled to Moscow and has kind of suggested and indicated that he's going to be on the wrong side of history when it comes to the invasion of Ukraine. China recently suggested that it was conducting military drills that could show how easily it could take over Taiwan should it want to. All of which adds up to an increasing concern about the rise of China. And TikTok is seen as emblematic of China, and it is not the Chinese state, but it is an easy target to hit in a sort of economic sanction way, similar to how we would stop Russian companies from investing in the UK when we're concerned about what Vladimir Putin is doing in Ukraine.
And all of this is in addition to these long-standing questions about TikTok's safety and its use of data. So how are government officials responding now?
They're talking tough and potentially acting tougher. A huge number of US states have enacted bans. Essentially, anybody who works for state-level governments is no longer allowed to use TikTok on work devices in its 30-odd states. The number has been climbing and continues to climb as this drumbeat against TikTok, because of this drumbeat against China, gets louder and louder. And then we saw in March a shift from a state-level campaign to a federal-level campaign. A group of US senators tabled what they called the Restrict Act. This is legislation that would allow the federal government to ban elements of technology that emanate from China, which would include TikTok. So this was a really existential threat to the app.
TikTok's CEO, Suzy Chu, appeared in front of the US Congress because of the Restrict Act. What did Chu say in response to those concerns about China using users' data?
It was really notable how keen he was to distance himself from China.
Let me start by addressing a few misconceptions about ByteDance, of which we are a subsidiary. ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government.
So there was the stock boilerplate response that we've had over multiple years of TikTok has never been asked by the Chinese state to hand over data. But at the same time, he was trying very hard to present this as an American success story.
ByteDance has five board members. Three of them are American.
And that extended also to how he presented himself. His opening statement talked about how he was based in Singapore, which I think was probably an attempt to try and say to maybe some more narrow-minded members of Congress who maybe saw an Asian face, actually, I'm not Chinese. Same thing happened with the company. He said that
it's a private company. 60% of the company is owned by global institutional investors.
ByteDance is owned only 20% by its founders, 20% by employees, and institutional investors make up the lion's share, including a good number of American investors. He also was at pains to point out how TikTok had basically walled off its US user data and was in the process of enshrining it so that no Chinese employee of ByteDance could access it. It was designed to say, we know you have these concerns. We're going to bend over backwards to try and assuage them.
Did you get the sense that the members of Congress listening to this understood how TikTok works?
In a word, no, not at all. There was far more heat than light in the hearing. In fact, there was so little light that at times it seemed like a total eclipse. It was that bad. We have this issue, which is we've kind of spent the last 20, 25 years letting big tech run wild because we see it as a huge success story. And we're now trying to rein it back in with some challenges because generally older people struggle more with technology and generally our politicians are relatively old. We had some members of Congress asking TikTok CEO,
Mr. Chu, does TikTok access the home Wi-Fi network?
Anybody who is under the age of maybe 30 would say, well, yes, of course it does, because it uses the internet and that's how we connect to the internet nowadays. But he seemed to be thinking that this was a massive security risk and a sort of gotcha question.
So if I have TikTok app on my phone and my phone is on my home Wi-Fi network, does TikTok access that network?
It will have to access the network to get connections to the internet, if that's the question.
There was also a line of questioning from a congresswoman who was asking questions about TikTok's algorithm, but seemed unable to pronounce the word algorithm.
Has TikTok at any time fed precise GPS information collected from US users into algorithms?
And didn't seem to know actually what the algorithm was, which was a bit of a worry. There were some bright lights, but ultimately they were drowned out by grandstanding, by posturing, by frankly just angry people showing their ignorance on these sorts of matters.
How much evidence is there that TikTok is a legitimate national security concern? I mean, how much of this is xenophobia or jealousy that there's a very successful app that isn't American or isn't European? How much is there a real reason to be worried about TikTok?
I've been intimately looking at this app and the company behind it and the people involved for around about almost 5 years now. I kind of saw TikTok coming over the horizon before TikTok was a big thing. I do have a lot of contacts within TikTok and people who have previously worked there who have access to Grind and tell me many problems with the company. Haven't seen that smoking gun that says this is a national security concern. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I was hoping from the congressional hearing that someone would come up with it, because ultimately that would be an amazing story. But we didn't get that. We got the same repetition of the same old claims, which are TikTok is Chinese in its origin, therefore there must be something going on here. It's kind of nobody that I talk to either who I respect has seen any evidence of this. And there are, you know, a whole cadre of really talented journalists trying to find that national security concern, as well as a whole range of independent expert cybersecurity researchers who are poring over TikTok's source code, the computer code that actually makes it run. And nobody's been able to find this thing.
While all of this has been unfolding in the US, what has the UK's approach to TikTok been?
The UK has banned TikTok on government phones. This isn't just happening in a vacuum. We have had Canada, we have had Australia, we've had New Zealand, we've had Belgium, we've had the European Commission taking a much more hardline approach to TikTok. The BBC has followed in their footsteps by preventing anybody who does need to use it for their jobs from having TikTok installed on their work devices. It is really notable that all of these bans outside of the US are relatively limited. They're not whole population bans. They are instead bans on government devices. You're probably, you know, talking about a very small handful of individuals, but it allows countries like the UK to look strong and to signal to the US that we're behind you. And, you know, this is an easy way of doing it because they don't have the potential risks of being challenged by TikTok in court.
What about the UK's own legislation in the pipeline? What about the online safety bill? What can TikTok expect from that?
This is something that has kind of been churning through successive governments for many, many years. At the minute, it looks like it will be much more punitive of social media companies and big tech companies in general. At the minute, it seems like they're going particularly on user data, user safety. It will have a material impact on TikTok. It will make them have to follow more stringent rules, but what those rules are at the minute is still very much up in the air.
Tell us, Chris, what is going to happen next? I mean, what would need to happen for there to be an all-out ban in the US, and how would that influence other countries and how they approach TikTok?
An all-out ban would probably require that congressional hearing to come back and make a recommendation to Joe Biden's presidency to say, we don't think that this is safe. You should stop it from existing in the United States. If you had asked me whether a ban across the whole US was likely before the congressional hearing, I would have probably put the odds at about 60%. Within 10 minutes of the hearing, that went to 100%, because I had completely underestimated the kind of hatred that people had for TikTok, the fact that this embodied China in their eyes. So I think a ban will be recommended. I think that immediately TikTok will appeal it, much as they did in 2020. And, you know, we go back in time to repeating the same things that happened almost 3 years ago. We'll have a court case. It will be deemed unconstitutional. It will be deemed to have not followed due process. There's no evidence that this is a national security concern. I think TikTok will therefore survive. I think we'll remain in this weird holding pattern where that handful of users who are using government devices in government buildings won't be able to use it, but the rest of the population will.
How do you think users would respond to the prospect of an all-out ban?
I think they'll respond pretty poorly, and we've already seen a groundswell of opinion, some of which has been kind of manufactured and G'd up by TikTok. But I was surprised by the response on TikTok to the hearing and the kind of recognition that this was an existential threat. People were posting videos of Xu Jiqu's performance in Congress, hailing him as a hero, saying essentially, we think that this is a really bad idea. This app could disappear tomorrow if we don't show our support. So write to your elected officials, tell them that they're making a mistake. Users will absolutely fight this tooth and nail, just as much as I think TikTok will fight this tooth and nail in court.
You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times with me, Jenny Kleeman, and my guest, Chris Stokel-Walker, Times and Sunday Times contributor, journalist and author of TikTok Boom, China's Dynamite App and the Superpower Race for Social Media. The producers were Sam Chantarasak and Olivia Case. The executive producer is Kate Ford, and sound design was by Tom Burchell. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.